You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. When you were a kid, what kind of house did you wish you had?
I'd like to live like on the top of a large hill, like as one of the, like not in a busy street, but like maybe on a countryside with a look over maybe a city down below and like forests around.
From a young age, many of us dream of the houses we'll own. But those dreams don't get into the reality of how much houses cost. And buying a house means getting a mortgage, which can wind up taking decades to pay off.
When you look at events like the housing bust, which eventually caused a worldwide economic downturn, you know, people were being forced into more house than they could afford.
When Jay Schaefer says more house, he means it literally, as in they were just too big. Schaefer founded the Tumbleweed Tiny House Company, based in Sonoma.
The banks wouldn't give loans for houses that were small. People were not allowed by their local codes to live in small houses. These things are really very much a part of what caused this economic downturn, and yet nobody talks about it.
In recent years, Schaefer has become the face of the tiny house movement. It's a diverse spectrum of people who live in houses that are so small, they're often illegal. And yes, there's such a thing as a house that's legally too small. So what's driven some Bay Area residents into such tiny quarters? John Atkinson reports.
Walt Whitman wrote that a man is not a whole and complete man unless he owns a house and the ground it stands on. I'm thinking of those words as I pull up in Grayton for a tour of Jay Schaefer's latest tiny house. It's just 7 by 14 feet, so small it violates current housing codes. That's one of the reasons it's mounted on a trailer bed. Housing regulations are really extensive, but trailer regulations are practically non-existent.
Stepping right inside the front door, to the left side, we've got the kitchen, which is very small. Just about 4.5 or maybe 4 feet long. To the right side of the front door, there is the bathroom, which is probably the smallest full bath in the world, as far as I know anyway.
Schaefer's a practice salesman. He's given Oprah Winfrey and Anderson Cooper similar tours. The New Yorker calls him the brainy misfit behind the tiny house trend. And he's definitely the closest thing the movement has to a celebrity.
Which is about 8 feet by 6.5 feet wide.
Schaefer often says there's something luxurious about living simply. It frees you up to do what you actually enjoy, since you're not constantly working to pay for a lot of stuff you can't afford.
It's really about buying less and living with less, living just with what you need to be happy rather than a bunch of extra stuff.
So there's a philosophical reason to go small. But for others,
it's more a pragmatic solution to economic and personal need than it is a change in lifestyle of now I don't want so much.
That's Stephen Marshall. He owns a business in Petaluma called Little House on the Trailer.
I get a fair amount of walk-in traffic because we're sitting here on the highway in a used car lot, so people notice and they stop, and everybody's sort of enchanted by the idea.
Marshall says that when many of these people come through, they talk about trying to use less or be green.
That's all the idealistic narrative around little houses. None of those people, not one of those people, out of, say, 30 houses that we've sold now, has been a buyer.
His clients are more practical. Many of them buy his houses for their elderly parents. That's where economics kicks in. On average, you'll pay about $2,500 a month to move your parents into an assisted living facility. But for around $6,000, Marshall will build you a little house, and you can park your parents in the backyard and take care of them yourself. Marshall's clients aren't worrying about saving the world. They want their immediate needs met at the best price.
Sort of reminiscent of a little ship's cabin, and I'll close the door, and it's nice and airtight. And cozy and warm. And you look up here, we got a skylight.
Bill Glancing built a tiny house in his backyard in San Francisco's Bernal Heights neighborhood. One of his sons had moved home after graduating from UCLA. He kept sending out resumes, but couldn't find a job. At the same time, Glancing's younger son also decided to move home from Davis.
And I was not about to say, well, you know, too bad you're old enough, go out and get a job or something, because, you know, it really wasn't a viable solution. You know, I'm not going to turn my sons out in the street, but we needed more room.
Glanting's main house is already pretty small by many people's standards. It's 1,000 square feet. He built his backyard cabana himself for somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000. It's an addition, a guest house. But others are actually moving full-time into smaller places.
Okay, picture this.
That's Brenda Daughtry. She and her partner, Cece Reinhardt, recently moved into an Airstream, one of those vaguely retro Silver Bullet-type trailers. To do so, they've had to downsize to meet strict limits. Their overall weight can't be more than 15,000 pounds.
We come back from being weighed. We bring in the scale, and we start putting stuff on the scale. Okay, that's 3 pounds of wool curtain that's coming out. Okay, write it down. That's an extra pair of scissors and a pot and a pan. That's 8 pounds. Take it out.
So we shaved 88 pounds in 2 hours, and we are very proud.
It's not a tiny house. They'd like one of those in a few years, maybe. But they're definitely engaging in some tiny living. The trailer is 25 feet long, 160 square feet.
I mean, it took us living in excess many years, kind of the California dream, what we thought we were supposed to have. We each had a car, you know, we had a big house. It took several years of that, and then looking at our bank account each month and our savings account each month and our Roth each month and our retirement each month and going, you know, this isn't exactly where we want to go.
Slowly, they started to downsize. They got rid of things they hadn't used in a year and sold their big house to rent a smaller place. They're debt-free now and have begun to save money.
I think it was a bit of a, you know, a kick to my ego to actually admit that I don't need all this stuff and this stuff isn't what you thought the stuff would bring you.
Talking to Reinhardt and Daughtry, it strikes me that their reasons for downsizing have a lot in common with Henry David Thoreau's. In the 1840s, he moved into his own tiny house, an experience he described in Walden, where he wrote that the cost of a thing is the amount of life which is required to be exchanged for it, immediately or in the long run. How does my stuff influence the life that I live? How much of my life will I spend paying for that stuff? And how do I actually feel about that? These are the questions tiny houses are asking. They're big ones, and have to do with the meaning of life itself. So it makes sense that, to answer them, these people have started by rethinking the places they live. For Cross Currents, I'm John Atkinson.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one.